Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is that first portion of the gospel reading, Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 12. And let's be honest, this text is extremely uncomfortable for most people. I say this because in this text, Jesus is addressing the topic of marriage and divorce, a topic that hits home for many of us. But also, Jesus is addressing this topic a little more broadly. He's really addressing the sixth commandment in general. You shall not commit adultery. The reality is that every one of us probably knows all too well both what it looks like and what it feels like to sin against the sixth commandment. Whether it's thoughts in our minds, images found online, or physical acts with another person, we know all too well what it's like to sin against this commandment. We know all too well the shame that follows, the isolation that our shame drives us to. But we also know God's will. We know, as Jesus quoted in our reading, that from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. We know that God designed marriage to be a lifelong union between one man and one woman. We know that physical intimacy belongs in the context of marriage alone. Not with a girlfriend, not with a boyfriend, not with a stranger, and certainly not on a computer, tablet, or phone screen. We know that these things are contrary to God's will. We know the damage that they do both to us and to our relationships with other people. And yet, so many of us have done these things and may even continue to do so. We reject and ignore God's will for our lives in the area of marriage and physical intimacy. And we should know better. In fact, we do know better, and yet we still do these things. Why? Well, Jesus gets to the heart of the matter and tells us why in verse 5 of our text. It is because of your hardness of heart that you still do these things and thus reject God's will for your life in the realm of the sixth commandment. It is because of your hardness of heart. Now, this imagery of a heart being hard, if you think about it, it's really quite a vivid picture. It evokes, at least for me, the idea of working with Play-Doh. If you're not familiar with what Play-Doh is, and I hope that you are, it's essentially reusable modeling clay for kids. It comes in all sorts of different fun colors, and it's a great way for kids, or even adults, to use their hands and imaginations to create something. The trouble with Play-Doh is, if you don't treat it well, according to the way it was designed to be used, it will start to dry out and become hard and useless. Now, when you get new Play-Doh, usually you're very careful with it at first. You keep all the colors separated. You're diligent to not let it sit out where it's going to dry out from the air. And just in general, you're careful about caring for it. But over time, you slip up here and there. The Play-Doh starts to dry out more and more. You don't really notice it too much at first. But as the slip-ups compound, as the Play-Doh gets drier and drier, the way back seems much more difficult. Think of your heart a bit like Play-Doh. When you slip up, when you sin, It causes your heart to harden just a little bit. The more you sin, the more it compounds and harder your heart becomes. You might not notice it at first, but with each successive sin, the way back seems more and more difficult. This is certainly true of sin in general, but it is especially true of Sixth Commandment sins. You take one look at that website, you have that one night with that person, and you don't really notice too much the negative effects. But with each successive time, the effects are worse, the shame increases, and your heart becomes harder and harder. It's a vicious trap and cycle. And as we continue to live in a world where these things are becoming normalized, our hearts continue to grow harder and harder. The things that we promised ourselves we would never participate in, things like marital unfaithfulness or divorce outside of the biblical exceptions, they start to become normalized too in our minds. My friends, Satan has us on the path that he wants us on. He has us right where he wants us, heading down the road of punishment that follows from continuing to harden our hearts. He has us heading down that same road that Pharaoh went down, the same road that Nebuchadnezzar went down, the same road that even the Israelites after the Exodus went down. It's a dangerous road. It's a road that is increasingly difficult to free ourselves from the longer we are on it. But my friends, all hope is not lost. There is still hope of rescue because Jesus invites us into a better way of life. He invites us into a life that focuses on Jesus, that focuses on the new life that he gives us rather than focusing on our own sins and failures. Did you know that Plato, that has become hard and almost useless, it actually can be softened and restored to the way that it is supposed to be? It's actually not that difficult. You just need a little bit of time and attention. What you have to do to start is take that hard lump of Play-Doh and break it up into little bits. Then you put those bits into a plastic bag, add just a little bit of water to it, close the bag, squish it all together, and then just let it sit overnight. When you come back the next day, the Play-Doh is as good as new. But that's not the way we think as modern Americans, is it? We don't think about fixing things. We think about discarding them and replacing them with something new. I wonder if this attitude of just discarding the old and replacing it with something new has shaped the way that we think about the Lord. Why would he bother to fix my brokenness when he could just discard me like that old hard lump of Play-Doh? Wouldn't it be easier for him to just replace me with someone who is less broken and less sinful? But that's not how God thinks. Frankly, he doesn't care what's easiest and most convenient. He cares about you. He loves you. And he's willing to do whatever it takes to soften your heart and to restore you to the way that he means for you to be. That doesn't mean it's going to be a quick and painless process. Far from it. Because the Lord begins the process of softening our hard hearts by first breaking them apart by the law. He needs to deconstruct that vicious trap and cycle that we're caught in. He needs to reshape your heart and your mind into his better way of living. And just like that hard Plato needs to sit in water for a bit of time to be transformed by it, so too does your heart need the gospel to be added to it. Your heart needs to sit with the gospel and soak it in to be truly transformed into a soft heart once again. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've gone to that site or seen that person. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, unfaithfulness, divorce, or anything else imaginable. Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you. Jesus gives you new life. And he softens your heart through the gospel message that he died so that you might be forgiven, and he rose to new life so that that new life could be yours as well. So what now? Jesus invites us into a better way of life, but the question is, how do we live that life? How do we set ourselves up for success and faithfulness to God's will for our lives in the realm of marriage and intimacy? Well, to be fair, the answer to that question is going to partially depend on your specific situation. I'll say more on that in just a moment. But first, no matter who you are, no matter what your situation is, you are not alone in this. God's Spirit will be with you to help you and to drive you back to the gospel when you sin. But you're also not alone in the sense that God has placed you here into a community of believers. We are stronger when we are together. Satan thrives when we are in isolation. When you are alone, he drives you to shame, despair, and further sin. But when you're with fellow Christians, Satan's power is diminished. God's Spirit is at work. So what should you do? Well, if you're struggling with a particular sin, the first thing to do is pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you strength to resist temptation and to be faithful to how the Lord has called you to live. Next, don't let yourself be alone. Talk to someone about it. I know that can be hard. I know that can be intimidating, to say the least. But it's important. Talk to someone. It could be a spouse if you have one, a family member, a friend, your deaconess, your pastor. Talk to someone who can give you good Christian counsel and support. And then finally, set up some healthy boundaries. That person that you talk to can help you with that. There are a number of technology solutions that can be utilized for a variety of situations as well. The bottom line is this. First, be smart in how you pursue God's will in the area of marriage and intimacy. Second, surround yourself with Christian support. And finally, and most importantly, pray continually for the Holy Spirit to be at work in your heart and your life. May the Lord grant each one of us grace to do just this. In the name of Jesus, amen.